The McElroy brothers are not experts, and their advice should never be followed. Travis insists he's a sexpert, but if there's a degree on his wall, I haven't seen it. Also, this show isn't for kids, which I mention only so the babies out there will know how cool they are for listening. What's up, you cool baby?
It's familiar, but not too familiar, but not too not familiar. It's a new craze. Hey, good girls, do you wanna just say, hey, I wanna? Just say, hey, I wanna.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to My Brother, Me, an advice show for the modern era. I'm your oldest brother, Justin McElroy.
I'm your middlest brother, Travis McElroy.
I'm your sweet baby brother, Griffin McElroy.
I'm very defensive, usually, of living in West Virginia. Why don't you get out of there, people say. But I appreciate the pastoral living.
Is that what you'd call it?
Yes.
I don't think
because
live...
of Justin's rural lifestyle.
Right, you don't live on or near a pasture.
Yeah, it's more pastoral, though, in nature. That really bit me in the hinder this week, though, because my power went out for 4 days.
Four solid days.
So are we speaking to a ghost now? Because no. I would literally die.
I would probably gaslight myself because I would just sit there and go like, oh, man, power's out. I can't watch TV. That's fine. I'll just play video games. Oh, no.
I used to think that this was like a regular occurrence. And then I told my boss, Chris, who lives in Philadelphia, about this. And he said, my power went out once for 30 seconds during Hurricane Sandy. Like, well, okay, I guess that maybe it's not as common a problem.
As opposed to Huntington, where the mayor sneezes and the power goes out.
Right. Here's the depths of my depravity. This is my lowest moment, is I go to the house on Friday night, I guess it was, and the power is still out, and it is fucking freezing. And I walk into the house, the power is out, the house is freezing, and the cats are in the house, and it's so, so cold in there. And I can't get the cats because they're too fast, and it's pitch black. So I can't.
Well, hold on. CJ's not too fast.
CJ I could have grabbed. But what am I supposed to do? Take one of them, the one I like, and let the other one die? It seems mean. So I'm like, fucking, I got to do something to help these cats. I don't know what I can do.
It's like that scene in Pee-wee's Big Adventure, but in reverse.
In reverse, right. So I wander around the house, and I'm like, wait a minute, I got a heater. And I'm like downstairs, rummaging through the basement, falling over myself, and finally I get the heater. I find it, and I like struggle to carry it upstairs, and I go, and I shit you not, I put it in the upstairs hallway, and I plug it in.
You dumb.
And then I just fucking stand there and stare at it for like 30 seconds, like, what have I done? This is literally what happens to me. So I do that. I'm like, well, cats are dead. Tough titties. I got to move on with my life. So I go out. I go out of the house to actually. I was going to go back and retrieve Sydney, to help us get the cats. So I go out of the car and I see our next door neighbor lugging a $700 generator into the house. And as he literally crosses the threshold of his house, the power comes back on with his generator. I'm like, wow, you did that, because that is something worse happened to somebody else than what just happened to me. You had this terrible scenario. So he says, I can't believe it. You're welcome. I made that happen by buying this generator. I'm like, oh, thank God my cats are going to be okay. And he said, do you want to join us for a celebratory post-outage beer? I said, no, thank you, I can't. I have food and a baby and a wife waiting for me back at my in-law's place. I have to go tell him the good news. And I see him literally – I'm pulling away, right? I see him literally clink beer cans with his buddy who is helping him lug the generator. I see them literally clink beer cans and the power shuts off.
I thought you were going to say he clinked beer cans with his new buddy, the generator, that he purchased. his new $700 electro friend.
Oh, buddy.
Chappy 2.
Now I'm a generator. We were talking on the phone while you were preparing soup in a pot that you had positioned over a fireplace, like
a
some
gas
sort
fireplace,
of,
yeah,
like some sort of caveman.
Yeah,
with gas.
You know what? It was the best bad soup I had ever had.
You were making fucking goofy movie high dad soup on your cigarette lighter.
Yeah, it was not pleasant. It was not pleasant. That was the lowest of low. Plugging in an electric heater. I'm like, here, cats. Boy, that must have been a jarring moment for the cats, too. Like, this is the entity that is charged with keeping us from dying. This is our lot in life.
You think the cats are sitting there from the doorway going, no, don't plug it in. Oh,
what are
God.
You doing?
Idiot.
It powers out. Idiot.
No,
come on.
You know what I would have done to keep those kitties warm?
What?
This is snuggled them.
Snuggle them.
Well, one of Justin's cats is snuggle averse.
I've never touched one of Justin's cats. I don't think anybody has. This has been kitty talk.
This has been kitty talk. We're talking about our little bitty kitties.
My kitty.
Welcome to the Little Bitty Kitty Committee. I'm Justin McElroy. I'm Justin McElroy, and I love my kitty.
I'm Griffin McElroy, like a growl, because my kitty's like a lion.
I'm Travis McElroy.
My workplace has become Prank Central.
All the kitties getting into mischief.
Kitties getting into milk and mischief.
Where did all my sardines go?
My work
and also all of my accounts. Oh God, they cleaned me out.
The cat liquidated me. My workplace has become Prank Central, and I just had my coffee spiked with a cup of salt.
What the fuck?
One sip, and I thought I was gonna vom on the spot.
Yeah, because that's like what people do to make themselves vom.
My knee-jerk reaction is to go thermonuclear, but I'd like to keep my job. What is an appropriate and measured response? That's from Gmail.
Christ.
This is so hard, because how do you target the responsible party?
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, somebody probably claimed responsibility for this Ipecac goof that they did on you.
Here's the thing. There's one of two scenarios here. Okay. Scenario one is, this is like you work in a good times place, right? Where everybody's best friend. Like a good times place. Like a good times place.
Yeah, okay. Travis is suggesting like a fucking startup with $400 trillion to spare, and so everybody just plays ping pong. Otherwise, you'd be too busy doing goddamn work to start putting salt in other people's coffee.
So everybody just like pals around all the time, and this is the kind of place where it's like, you know what? I just feel like not doing any work and just ordering pizzas today, right? So maybe it's that kind of place, and you don't fit in.
Where people can just hang out and do whatever.
Right, and be shut down in like 9 months.
Work
and
is
like,
play to foodie break today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's you're the one who doesn't fit in, right? Because everybody else is like, a good time, buddy. And you're like, oh, guys, can we focus up? Or scenario two, this is a place of work. This is a business where work gets done. And like some fucking, Tom Green over here, some kind of prankster, goofster, is ruining it for everybody. And then I think you go to the boss and you narc. You just complain
hard. Yeah. You can't. I always hated Jim Halpert on The Office because it's like, fucking do anything. You're being compensated. You know what the number one like piece of workplace theft is? It's time. And when you're fucking goofing constantly and not hitting the books or those streets or the papers or whatever it is you hit in whatever job he had. It's been a while since I've seen the show, but just like do some work, dude. How do you like sleep at night?
I mean, he thinks he's so funny with his goofs and such, but maybe if he committed to his job, he would enjoy it more. He would get more satisfaction out of it if he would just do his work and leave that poor Dwight alone. Dwight's trying to do his work. He's got some social, issues. Maybe he doesn't, like, get along well with everybody, and he's not your normal fellow. So he should be tormented for that, Jim.
Because he takes pleasure in his craft, you fucking dick, Ed.
Because he likes things like Battlestar Galactica. America and farming, so it's your job.
So it's your
Jim
problem
Halpert,
to shit
to
on
just
that.
Congratulations,
Jim Halpert. You're Twitter, you piece of shit.
You're a terrible person, Jim Halpert. You and Pam deserve each other. Yeah. In this economy,
we have just fallen into a deep pit.
Help me out, Griffin.
I just don't put salt in people's coffee for starters because some people need that shit.
Salt or coffee?
Coffee. Some people. What if you're on like a low sodium diet? Because your doctor
puts like,
you
drink
on
it and immediately have a heart attack.
Hey, yeah, cool. Attempted murder. You piece of shit. This is why I can't work in an office anymore, because people are constantly trying to fucking kill you just to get a laugh off.
I think the best response is to wait till that person is drinking their coffee, and then walk up, take the coffee out of their hands, and smash it against the wall. Mm-hmm. And how's that prank?
This is what you did to me.
And just saying, like, literally and then just doing say, it. Like, prank. Mm-hmm. I pranked you.
You've been pranked. I would say that if your natural response is to go, like, way over the top thermonuclear, you shouldn't.
Word again.
Thermonuclear. You shouldn't respond at all, like, because I don't think you have a good gauge. And you know, the fastest way to not, like, to not get pranked again in the future is to have zero reaction to the thing that happened. Mm. You take a sip of the coffee, you almost Vince Vaughn, and then you just go like, no, and then
Travis.
You just pour it out.
I liked it. I approve.
And then you just, like, walk over, you quietly dump it out, you refill your coffee.
Oh, well, okay. Listen, I have an actual good response to this. Get in league with your boss, and don't go into work on an upcoming day, maybe just tomorrow, whenever you listen to this tomorrow. And then when the person who salted your coffee asks, say that Richard quit because people were so mean with their pranks.
Or even better, he had to stay home sick with salt poisoning.
He had salt poisoning.
Shit. Hey, House of Cards Season 4 sucks. Do you guys want a Yahoo?
Yeah.
Yeah.
This Yahoo was sent in by Game Recognize the Game, Rachel Sperling. Thank you. It's by Yahoo Answers user, that guy, who asks, how do I give up rapping? At one point, it just consumed my life, and I'm tired of sinning. I look back, and my old recordings sound very evil.
Hold on, scary. One more time. First sentence again.
At one point, it just consumed my life, and I'm tired of sinning.
Okay.
I look back, and my old recordings sound very evil and scary. Boo. Every time I quit, I get drawn back in. How do I stop this addiction?
Man, if you can figure it out.
Sincerely, Dr. Dre. I just want to do my headphone thing.
Uh-huh. I wish I could quit this speaking.
People keep wanting
rhymes.
Detox. They say, please drop detox, Dre. And I say, I can't. It's evil and sinning, and I can't go back to those rapping ways.
I just listen back to it, and I'm like, what was I thinking?
Can you quit, or can you do like a fucking Will Smith brand shift? Where it's just okay. I only rap about things that make people feel good, and no swears, no sin. I don't think God listens to Will Smith. I mean, of course God listens to Will Smith. I don't think, just like in prayer, and also he has all of his albums because they're really good, and we're all waiting for that new shit. That new stuff. Sorry, I'm going to try and answer this question in the style of Will Smith. I'm going to just try and live my life a little bit closer.
You're going to have to reference Miami a lot more.
I'm going to have to just try and live my life a little bit closer to Will. And so go do the Will Smith thing. God listens to Will Smith and is like, I like this guy's style. I like how he keeps it clean. And
his big Willie style.
It's funny because it's clean, but it's still so edgy. Because he has that song that's all about candy. And he's like, you sweet, good enough to eat. Make a fellow want to TLC creep. And it's like, I love that reference. I love candy. And I love how you didn't just swear, Will Smith. So can we do like, can you come a little bit closer? Come with me. Take my hand. We're going to walk a little closer with you, Will Smith. There's three pairs of footprints in the sand. One's me, one's you, one's Big Will.
And then every so often, there's like a missed spot in the middle, and that's where Big Will and God were swinging me.
Uh-huh. And then there's some erratic two pairs of footsteps, and then one of them disappears. And then, like, and then 15 feet down the line, there's just, like, a big, like, impact mark. It's, like, the shape of a human. And that's where Uncle Phil picked up DJ Jazzy Jeff and launched him like a human torpedo.
DJ Jesus Jeff.
So you could definitely do that.
I think, Griffin, the point you're missing is not how to revamp his rap, but how does one stop the thing that is so inherent, so intrinsic in your DNA that, like, you can't imagine not doing it anymore. You know what I mean? Like, we all have that thing where it's like, when I wake up, I'm eating and breathing cross-stitch, right? Like, how do I not cross-stitch anymore? It is, at this point, so identifiably me that when people think Travis, they think cross-stitch.
Sure.
And to answer this actual question, if I could just, like, actually answer a question for once, the secret is to not rhyme when you're talking.
That's the trick. Mm-hmm. You're going to do that's the trick. Once. You're going
to
be like,
if you catch yourself, like, let me welcome everybody to the Wild Wild West, a state that's untouchable, like Elliot Spitzer. Like, you just got to, if you see yourself about to rhyme, you just, like, turn the whole ship around.
Justin, you are so right, because I was about to suggest just don't record it. But then I've seen people rhyming but not record, just walking down the street and rhyming.
Is this a thing people, this is an epidemic? Is it, it's going to be like, what happens, you know what happens to a dream deferred? It gets all raisiny and fucked up. And that's the problem, is I feel like if you try and keep this inside, you can't purge this urge like a glass of Surge. Do you know what I mean?
Oh no, they got him.
Oh no, here I go. I've promised I would stop because I was a flop, but I chip it, chop.
He's having a stroke.
No, it was a joke, and I'm telling on the show, and Elliot Spitzer.
Here's a rap tip from us to you. If you ever get tired in the middle of a rap, or sleepy, or just can't think of words to say, say chip a chip chip.
Or Elliot Spitzer, which is a magical word that rhymes with anything. Some would call it two words. Scientists have yet to agree on how many words Elliot Spitzer is. You can't give up rapping. I would say try and walk a little closer with me, Will Smith. I've been Will Smith this whole time. Thank you all for listening to the podcast.
Is it rude to show up to a themed birthday party not dressed in the requested attire? My friend is turning 30, and her husband is planning a surprise 90s-themed dance party. I don't have any frumpy high-waisted jeans, overalls, crop tops, high-top tennis shoes, or anything else remotely 90s, and I don't feel like rummaging through all the local thrift stores for these types of items. Would I be as lame as the people who show up to Halloween party sans costume, or is this different and not as big as a social faux pas? Please help. That's from Lost My LA Gears in Georgia.
Yes.
Yeah, I...
Like, just don't... Like, you know what? Like, I don't feel like it is not a condition by which you get to not do... Like, nobody feel... Nobody's woken up and is like, I've got to dig out my hypercolor t-shirts from storage. We do it because it's funny for other people. Like, nobody feels like doing
it.
Tough nuggies.
Unless...
This friend is constantly trying to do themed parties.
Yeah, and that is rude. That's the rude shit right there.
If this is like, listen, he's turning 30, or she's turning 30, and like we, like our group of friends have like not done a theme party in years.
Yeah.
Then yeah, you have to go. You have to at least make an effort. But if it's like every other week, they're trying to do like a Quentin Tarantino themed party and we're going to watch shit and now we're doing this and we'll do an Oscars party where everyone like, then it's like, okay,
man,
you know
ran
what?
Out of ideas so quickly, Travis. Holy shit.
I know. Famous magicians was the only other thing I had.
But they all wear the same shit. They all look exactly the same except for David Blaine.
Everybody wore a straight jacket. Did nobody, like, talk to each other before? How are we supposed to pick up drinks? I think a good rule of thumb for anything like this is where you think, in your mind, flash forward to the party where everybody's dressed up and you walk in just your regular clothes, and that's the rest of your night. You know what I mean? Where people were like, why didn't you? And your only explanation is, I didn't feel like looking for the stuff. Where everybody else has done it. And, like, there's your host, like, looking at you like, oh, you chose not to participate. Like, when you think about it in that context, in, like, the reality of the situation, it's pretty clear that you would feel rude because they asked you to do a thing and you might as well. It's like if somebody said, everybody bring a dish, and you didn't.
It's rude to have a theme party at all, first. You should let somebody get that far out of their head. They're like, get that much out. Hey, we're having a theme part. That's rude. That's very rude of you to do.
I think you can.
You're right, Justin.
Here's my suggestion. I used to mow the lawn at our house, and then I just started doing such a shitty job of it that Dad stopped asking me to mow the lawn, and I gracefully bowed out. I think if you can show up to something, to each of these parties that technically fits the bill, but is so wildly inaccurate and bad and wrong, that they will just stop doing them entirely.
I thought
they can't,
you meant 1890s.
Or you show up dressed up as Sonic the Hedgehog, and they're like, what the fuck? And you're like,
that would be fresh.
That's
that
a thing.
Dope,
that was
Griff,
a 90s
are you kidding
thing.
Me?
Right, but then they throw like a, like, come dressed up as your favorite food, and you show up like Sonic the Hedgehog. And you're I don't know. You could probably cook and eat a hedgehog. I don't know. Famous presidents. Hi, I'm Sonic T. Hedgehog. That's me. Our nation's 61st president. And you're like, what are you fucking talking about? And you're like, you can't prove that Sonic the Hedgehog won't be our nation's 61st president. Why don't you keep an open mind? And then they have a Oscars party. Everybody's black tie, and I'm Sonic the Hedgehog. Hello.
And pretty soon you stop being invited to parties at all, and then you don't have to worry about it
anymore.
Well,
no, that's not that's the thing.
Then they have a Sonic the Hedgehog party, and you show up as Judge Lance Ito.
You get it?
Judge Lance Ito is part of the extended Sonicverse. He was in the 2006 Sonic the Hedgehog game playing Dr. Robotnik. What I'm saying is Sonic the Hedgehog is just a great character. Do you guys want a Yahoo?
Yes.
Here's a Yahoo that was sent in by Ian Dunn. Thank you, Ian. It's by Yahoo Answers user Fairy Girl, who asks, what is the meaning of every tattoo Adam Levine has? How much time do you got? What is the meaning of every tattoo Adam Levine has? I know some of them, like the Roman numeral 10 and the 222. But what about everything else?
He's got the one that wards off evil.
The rose piece is on his left shoulder, right?
Right.
He's got the mom on his left forearm.
He's got the ghost. He's got the Ghostbusters logo over his left eyeball.
He's got the Deathly Hallows around his nipple.
Sure.
He's got the fake beard tattooed on his face,
Right under the Ghostbusters logo. On his other eye, he has the Ghostbusters logo, but the 2-1 where the ghost is putting up the peace sign. Oh, no, wait, that's 2, isn't it?
He's got the tattoo on his butt where it looks like Slimer's coming out of his butt crack.
His butt, yeah.
He has a lot of Ghostbusters tattoos. I didn't put that together until just now.
Yeah, well, it's good luck. This dude has such a broad assortment of tattoos. I think he adhered to the Travis McElroy school of tattoo themes, where it's just like a lot of different stuff. Like, for instance, there's a paw print that says Frankie Girl, as is for his golden retriever, Frankie. There's a script tattoo. I'm reading an answer because somebody fucking busted out a bullet point here. There's a tattoo written in either Hindi or Sanskrit on the left side of his chest that has been hard to get a photo of, but it is believed to say Maroon 5. There are goddamn Dead Sea Scrolls. There are apocryphal Adam tattoos.
And I would disagree just by Googling Adam Levine tattoos, but that has not been hard to get a picture of because there are bajillions of them.
On the left side of Adam
Levine's a fit dude.
Yeah, dude, he's like ripped and his body's crazy. But he's got a tattoo on his left bicep that is an X, meaning 10, for the 10-year anniversary of Maroon 5.
I got that exact same tattoo. Yep. I'm surprised I didn't see him there.
They were giving him away free at the tattoo parlor. Just come in and let us celebrate Maroon 5.
So this motherfucker's in a band called Maroon 5. He's got a tattoo that it has 222. That's for the number on the door, the very first studio that Maroon 5 ever recorded in. He's got an X for the number 10 for the 10-year anniversary of Maroon 5. Nowhere on his fucking body does he have a goddamn 5 for the number in his goddamn number band. Hi, my name is Matchbox 20. I'm from Matchbox 20. We've been going for 30 years, so I got a 30 tattooed on my body because I'm an idiot.
Travis, why are you sending me a link to Pinterest? Oh, good. An Adam's Inc. user guide from People Magazine.
Now, this claims that the Sanskrit means austerity.
Does this mean austerity or Maroon 5?
That's the same thing. He's got a shark tattoo from facing his fear of them.
Of sharks?
Of shark. No, of shark tattoos.
Hey, shark, you look,
shark tattoos.
Shark, you look at me straight in your dead black eyes like a doll's eyes because I'm going to get a tattoo of you, but I promised myself I'd look at you for 30 seconds first. I made it 20 and you just got to stay still.
Well, he got the tattoo from a shark.
Adam, I noticed you keep looking at the door. Is everything okay?
No, it's fine. It's fine.
Yeah, you know it's pretty good. I'm not bothered.
It's just getting harder and harder to breathe.
It's getting harder and harder to breathe.
I've got a great idea for a song. I've got to go start a band so I can write it.
Okay, listen to this shit. Listen to this shit.
And then as he stumbles outside, he sees 5 maroon cars drive by and he goes, "Eureka!"
There is another new piece in the collection of Adam Levine tattoos on the right side of his chest that is not yet revealed.
There's a teaser for
2016.
There are photos that offer a little hint, but as of yet, there is no confirmation as to what is actually there. There is also a rumor of a new back piece that hasn't been revealed yet either.
Do you know how, Griffin, do you know how fucked it is? Do you know what it says about Adam Levine? That the fact that people can't see, like, his skin, all of his skin all the time is the questionable thing. Like, we have those things here in the regular world. They're called clothes, and we wear them to cover our tattoos.
Dude, if I had a crazy, blown out, rip a dip body like Adam Levine, if my shit was top of the class, so tight,
moves just like
bumps,
Jagger.
Ridges, Jagger moves, Jagger bumps and ridges,
chitin
under the skin though. To just give it a 14-pack fucking blissful, sweet, sweet pasture of man flesh. Hey, I would never wear clothes anywhere ever again.
Guys, can I ask you a real talk question? Just real talk for a second.
What's wrong?
Don't you think Adam Levine's probably super cool to hang out with?
I bet he's probably a super cool dude.
I bet he's so great. Chill.
I bet. But he's not going to happen because I just yelled at him on the internet about it.
I haven't yelled at him. That's a high quality hang, man.
I want to do is spend the day with Adam Levine and Rob Thomas like that. If I could tell 16-year-old Travis that 31-year-old Travis could make that happen for him, like that would just be the best.
Travis, can you get Adam Levine on the show as a guest expert?
I try and stop me, Justin.
We couldn't get Scott Bakula, but maybe we can get Adam Levine.
Adam Levine, we'll get him in the studio with the three of us. At one point in the middle of the recording when he's doing an answer, Justin, you're going to sneak up behind him, and we're going to make eye contact, and I'll mouth 1, 2, 3, go. You'll hit him with the chloroform, and then I'm going to tattoo a 5 on this fucker's body.
Let's go.
I'm going to fix Adam Levine. Because right now his shit is broken.
Okay, now seriously, Mike. We got a really awesome new advertiser to tell you all about this week. It's Slipshine, which proudly publishes over 150 pages of fun, sex-positive adult comics every month. This week, Mabim Bam listeners can get a special offer. Slipshine.net/Mabim Bam. No first time sign up fee, and you get a 10% discount on 6 month and yearly subscriptions. You can get access to fresh content monthly and 10 years of archives. Now, that's the stuff we legally have to say for this ad, but the thing is, you guys really, really have to go.
You need to go to this goddamn link. Slipshine.net/MBMBAM. Slipshine.net/MBMBAM. This is not a test. Get to this goddamn
special page. You're going to love it.
There's a comic for all of us.
Now, this is not safe for work.
This is a grown folks website for grown folks.
This is for grown folks only, but you're going to love it. All the comics are so positive, and it's so great, and everything is so great. This landing page
is
so good.
You're in for a treat. Listen, again, seriously, though. Can't, like, this is horny stuff.
This is horny stuff, y'all.
This is really horny stuff.
If you got
this is grade A horny material.
If you got Net Nanny, she is going to throw down several flags over
this
over
is
this
NSFW,
website.
Like teengoogle.com.
Right. Well, no, Teen Google isn't necessarily.
No. We've been getting a lot of tweets and emails from people that apparently teengoogle.com gets blocked by a lot of NetNanny-esque sites. People can't check Teen Google at work.
NetNanny has probably also listened to the show before, and she probably knows the foul nature of our doings.
Slipshine.net/NBNBAM. Go right now. After you masturbate.
Yeah.
To that, you'll be hungry. And the good news is we got a great solution for you there, too.
Wash your hands between.
Wash your hands before you grab your naturebox.com. After you...
Do it.
After you're done with your box, why not reach for a naturebox.com? It's snacks on snacks on snacks on snacks.
I also call my penis a box, so...
Naturebox.com has something for everyone. With zero artificial flavors, colors, or sweeteners, 0 grams trans fat, and no high fructose corn syrup. This is wholesome stuff. I got to tell you guys, I got a new Nature Box in the mail. I have a new hot recommendation for you. It is the almond biscotti bites, vanilla almond biscotti bites, or lemon almond biscotti bites. That's what it is. Delicious snack that I can highly recommend. And it came in a trial box. You get 5 free snacks. A box of free snacks by going to naturebox.com/mybrother. This is really delicious stuff. You get a free trial box of snacks. There's no risk. Check it out. See if you like it. You will. And you get a subscription. And then every month you can get whatever snacks you choose. Maybe some Big Island pineapple. Maybe some pistachio power cluster.
Is it possible to have the website pick snacks for you so that when I open up that Nature Box, I can like fucking play the Zelda music behind it, like, what am I gonna have in here? And also, I don't want any of the snacks to have labels on them. I just want to have content that I can start eating
and no bags, just a loose box,
just a loose
full
box
of snack bits
of basically mystery gorp. That
and
is
if the mailman could really just beat the shit out of the
just
box,
just really
that would be great.
Fucking wail on it,
or maybe drag it on the ground.
A lot of people ask me what the Parmesan garlic pop pop sound like. So this is
great.
Really?
Oh God.
Oh, nothing makes good radio like listening to someone gum on something.
Hey, have you listened to Mabim Bam? You can really hear the insides of Justin McElroy's cheeks.
Naturebox.com/mybrother.
I have a message, very special message, for Brian Lee. And it's from Amber, who says, "Hi, Blee. I know we don't have an official anniversary date, so let's just say it's today. Thanks for 7 years of being cute and great all the time. You are my shining golden treasure, and I hope I haven't spoiled this surprise by the time you hear it. I love you a whole bunch, Amb." That's super great. I love that Amber probably wanted their anniversary date to be, let's say, a month and a half to 2 months ago.
No, we nailed this one.
Oh,
we nailed
we
this
it?
One. Yes. We hit the window. She asked for between March 8th and 14th, and we did it. First time, 5 years.
Yeah. Stuck the landing. We have established a super precedent for the inaugural date of your love. And I'm happy that we could be a part of this. And
it is the second Monday of every March.
Well, I don't think it's not. It's not Hanukkah.
It's not a federal holiday.
Dave's not going to wander around.
Got a message for Brian Miskell from Julian, Sanford, Kate, Katie, and Lilla. Happy birthday, the most truthful Shelmerdine ever to grace the American stage. To a hunky boy and an NBNBAM aficionado so dedicated he knows we're throwing big words in here just to hear Justin pronounce them.
Sesquipedalian. Do it again. Keep doing it. This is the rest of the show.
To an onstage crooner more euphonious than a macaroni singing, "This vampire horse likes blood." You're going to go far, man. Well, there you go, you fucking sicko. You got your job.
Are you happy now?
Are you happy now? Is this what you want?
You monsters.
Justin, I could really just listen to, it would be like Grammar Girl starring Justin McElroy, except you don't fucking know anything.
Grammar Goofus.
Kelsey Grammar Girl. Now, this is a different show. This would be a different show from the show.
This is just a girl who loves Kelsey Grammar?
This is a girl who sounds like a lot like Kelsey Grammar. And it's just her reading the newspaper.
What about Kelsey Girl? Kelsey Grammar Girl fan cast.
Okay.
We're going down the rabbit hole a little bit, but this is a fan cast about Kelsey Grammar Girl. This is dumb.
The Muppet Show, World War II. The song I Knew You Were Waiting For Me by Aretha Franklin and George Michael. So many great things have come from the collaboration between the U.S. and the U.K. But never let us forget that at the heart of it all, our two nations are deadly rivals. Join me, Dave Holmes, for International Waters, a transatlantic panel game that pits comedians in London and comedians in Los Angeles against each other. It's like the Revolutionary War, but with, like, way more jokes about One Direction and cinema. Find it in iTunes or at MaximumFun.org.
Dear brothers, I have recently developed a strange fear that when I'm in the shower, with the curtain drawn, there's a deranged killer in the bathroom that's about to kill me. How am I able to overcome this strange phobia so I can once again shower in peace? Any help is appreciated, as I've been cowering in fear in the corner of my shower, peeking out every 3 seconds to make sure there's no knife-wielding maniac in my bathroom. And that's from Andrew.
Here's the thing. Can I be honest? The reason I included this question, not only is it a good question, I went through the same thing.
How did you get out of it?
It's the dorkiest shit, but I would put a song on the radio that was too happy to be murdered.
I was literally about to say, throw some fucking Beyonce on your iPhone and just blast it, because first of all, you're gonna love these tunes, I guarantee it. Second of all, you're gonna feel too fucking strong. Like, you're gonna feel like if a killer did break into your room and fucking partition is blasting, and a driver walks in that room and pulls back the shower curtain and has a knife, you're like, I'm too fucking strong and way too fucking sexy to be killed in this shower right now.
And then you're just dancing in his face. Or her face.
Whatever this killer is that's going to try and kill you, you're going to be dancing around their flurry of stabs. And you're going to be so fucking strong and awesome while you do it. Honestly, that works for basically everything. It's basically why Beyonce is like a goddamn phenomenon. Is because
everybody just wants to not get killed in their shower.
Well, yep. No, I'm saying it applies to fucking everything. Like running across the interstate, like that hilarious Bowfinger movie. You put some fucking Beyonce on, the cars will just sort of fly around you because you're too strong to be killed. Nobody has ever died while listening to a Beyonce song because you're too strong and sexy and fucking powerful and awesome.
I have a better idea than your ideas.
Okay.
Ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
Bring a knife into the shower.
Oh.
Never gonna see that coming. He pulls back the curtain like, rah, rah, and you're like, rah, rah, yourself, motherfucker, and stab him right in the eye.
Oh, okay. Let me one up that,
you thought
juice.
The psycho was out there? Surprise, the psycho's in here with the Irish Spring on him.
Let me one up that, Justin. You're going to do a full-on...
That's actually the name of this fucking podcast, right?
A full-on Home Alone clown in the shower.
Oh,
what's
fuck.
That? You're in the closet. Stab, stab, stab.
You jump out of the closet to stab him. What the fuck? He's a clown balloon. What's that on the ceiling?
Daniel, why do you smell so bad?
I haven't showered in 3 months. But I'm alive.
Good news, though. My clown's clean and my conscience is clear.
Is clean.
Now, all you single ladies, come dance with Stinky Dude.
I don't need the Beyonce to keep me sane anymore. I use the Beyonce to get me pumped up to kill somebody. Should they come into my shower to stab me?
As long as they aren't a clown balloon and they are perched on the ceiling. Oh no, shit, that's a second clown balloon. They double balloon.
The floor is a mirror.
The floor
the
is
whole
a,
time.
A mirror. They are the house. And then they eat me. Monster House.
The house was a metaphor for my childhood.
Wait a second, this is all a dream. But it's not. The killer's inside my dream.
I'm John Cusack.
Then all of a sudden the house is floating. Look up, balloons, urine up.
As you move, you're trapped in the television, clicking through with your magical remote.
Sorry, Pleasantville?
No, that was more of, I think it was, no, it wasn't Mom and Dad Save the Universe.
I think you definitely meant Pleasantville.
Channel up, next channel, change channel. Channel changers?
Channel changers. Clickers. Do you guys want a Yahoo?
Yeah.
This Yahoo was sent in by John Williams. Thank you, John Williams. It's by Yahoo Answers user Easton, who asks, what are some sexy foods besides hot dogs, pickles, etc.?
Of. Totes of.
For example, a hot dog, a pickle.
Well,
you just said that, so you're kind of being a little redundant. For example, a hot dog, a pickle, a melon.
Mm.
Those can all be used as another meaning. What are some other foods than can be used that way?
Wait.
This is posted in Men's Health. BTS.
Wait. I thought this question asker was saying not hot dogs and pickles because of their inherently phallic nature. But if they're trying to suggest, that saying, like, I want to be all over your hot dog is in any way sexual, they're the worst.
Let me see that melon.
My what? Your honeydew.
I like your melons. I gotta go.
I have to leave. I'm having a pickle problem.
I'm just gonna name foods.
All right.
Okay. And you guys tell me, gut instinct.
Okay.
Don't think about it.
Okay.
Gut instinct.
Let me clear my mind.
Anything sexual or a sexual connotation or a euphemism, whatever, sexual connotation to these foods. Here's your
first need to back this up, or is it just like gut reaction, yes or no?
No, yeah, gut reaction, yes or no. If I completely disagree with you, I will stop you.
I got kind of a hair trigger down there, though, so.
Okay. Chicken salad.
No.
No.
No?
No.
Okay. Pretzels.
Yes.
No.
Pretzel rods.
Yes. Anything, any rod, any cucumber rod. Well, cucumber is, I guess, rod.
Cucumber
shape,
is just sort of a rod natively. Shape. Okay, cucumber.
Yeah.
Yes.
Jell-O.
Yes.
Yes.
Jelly.
Yes.
Yes.
Jam.
Yes.
You're just saying, okay.
No, I'm not.
Yes.
I'm just, okay. Peanut butter.
No.
Yes.
Huh. Okay, split decision on that. I'm into it. Half and half.
No. Are you just looking at
things? Wait, are you saying it's a split decision or the food half and half?
I'm not sure anymore.
I want to read some of these answers that have been submitted in response to this Yahoo Night's mystery. Because one of them is the greatest and, well, it's the worst thing. It's the worst paragraph ever penned. Less offensive are, chocolate ding-dongs, obviously. That's from Vadim S. Olivia says, a hostess Twinkie. They are tan-ish and white creamy stuff comes out of them. UOM says try a banana or a cumber, which is I guess
or call it cucumber. How into cucumbers do you need to
let me get some of those cumbers.
Hey, you got any cumbers over there?
Richie just says cream.
Sorry, what?
Cream. I want to read Richie. Though this new American classic from Spanky Gazpacho DW.
Mm-hmm.
This was rated the top answer. It has 4 thumbs up, 0 thumbs down. The asker gave it 1 out of 5 stars, though. So it's a bit contentious. It is not the answer that the asker wanted, but it is the answer they deserved. Spanky Gazpacho DW says...
Say that name just 8 more times.
Spanky Gazpacho DW. That's an answer right there.
Yeah, and he was also my favorite little rascal.
Spanky Gazpacho DW says, and please just let me get through this. Mango is really sexy. Don't cut it up and eat it with a fork, though. You have to let the juice drip down your face and onto your naked rack. You have to suck on that seed. You know, share it visually and expressively, and then literally, nothing nothing better than a beautiful, sweet mango smeared all over the body and slowly kissed and licked off.
What are you doing in there, Spanky?
I'm researching.
Come down for dinner. We're having mango for dessert.
Oh, Christ.
My boner. It went inside.
I'm sharing it visually and expressively, and then literally. What does that mean, Spanky Gazpacho, DW?
Can I just quickly, quick sidebar? I did a Google-roo of Spanky Gazpacho. This is a unique individual haunting Yahoo Answers. There is a question. The top response for Spanky Gazpacho is a question. Does anybody here know someone that is nicknamed Gazpacho?
Well, you do now.
The top answer is from Spanky Gazpacho. He says, "I see gazpacho that is that cold, emotionless, acidic, tomato-based soupy guy, Gazzy, that got all suspended by Yamster on Christmas Day.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously a beaten-up individual bruised by years of haunting. Not like a sweet, juicy, dribbling, tropical mango man, smothered with affection from caring and giving strangers who have taken him under their wing. A truly one-side affair for which he is overwhelmingly the person who takes the benefit of others' selflessness." What?
Wait, is this motherfucker just like a prophet for mangoes?
I think this motherfucker is an artificial intelligence who is very slowly and surprisingly sensually becoming self-aware.
Are you telling me right now that Spanky Gazpacho was created
in a laboratory? Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. In a lab. Okay, I buy it.
Is it possible that what the deal is that Spanky Gazpacho represents everything that's wrong with humanity, and he realizes, or she realizes, that Mango Boy, or whatever they said was the other person, is all the good, right? And while they're in a constant luck struggle with their icy nature versus the juicy nature, Spanky Gazpacho also realizes the beauty and wonder that is Mango and wishes they could just be closer to them, but knows that their yin and yang-like structure stops them from ever actually consummating the relationship.
That was, Travis, the fucking craziest thing you've ever said.
We have done this podcast for 242
episodes. And you literally just created a goddamn bonkers religion around some whack Yahoo Answers shit that you just found.
I'm just saying that it's easy for us to judge when we don't know the whole story.
Okay, I'll test that theory. You're an insane person.
Okay.
You're right. That was easy. I judged you like that.
But,
Travis, I was having a dissociative episode while you were talking because I was so unable to process the words coming out of your mouth.
Well,
this podcast is now officially this episode. I thought we had some pretty good stuff. Adam Levine goofs, I'm into it. Now it's The Ring. And if you listen to it, you die 7 days.
Well, you know
because what you said was so fucking weird.
You know what? History will prove one of us right and one of us wrong, Justin.
Yeah,
and
one of us insane. It's going to prove you right because Justin's going to be fucking dead. And so am I. Right. And so is our millions of listeners, unless they get somebody else to listen to our podcast.
Me, because Mango will have welcomed me into their arms and taken me away from this gazpacho-y planet. Cold and icy human beings.
This is great viral marketing, I guess, unless all of our listeners die, in which case it's bad viral marketing.
Oh, we have one more money zone from the Mango Council.
Oh, Christ.
Folks, thank you so much for listening to My Brother, and Me. Want to say a huge thanks to NatureBox. You can get your free sample box of great tasting, wholesome snacks like BBQ kettle kernels. Go to naturebox.com. Fuck those. Get some Parmesan garlic pop pops.
Well, don't say fuck those about the BBQ kettle kernels.
I don't think you should fuck the kettle kernels.
You could try some mango almond bites,
Travis,
or some mango fruit chews, or some dried mango,
or some mango.
All available at
Nature Dried
Box.
Mango is not going to give you the kind of juice that you need to perform your fucking sacrament.
You're going to have to get the dried mango and then soak it in the holy wine overnight.
What's the holy wine?
I'll post all the instructions on the Facebook page.
This is the
go to naturebox.com/mybrother.
This isn't even like idiosyncratic and like, wow, what a weird tangent they went off on, which is what I think all of our listeners sound like apparently in my head. This is like Travis, you are on some like Charles Manson shit right now. And I'm like wicked uncomfortable with it.
Yeah, I don't even think it's funny.
I don't think like, it's funny either.
It's terrifying.
It's fucking terrifying. Yeah.
I don't know what you want me to say. Like, I don't even know where these words are coming from. It's like some greater force is just speaking through me. You know what I mean? I just open my mouth and the wisdom comes out.
So you've been in L.A. for all of, like, 3 months and you're already founding Scientology, too.
This motherfucker's not even founding Scientology, too. It's like he's discovered, like, some fucking curves and angles that are alien to our world. Like, this motherfucker is, like, on some fucking Miskatonic shit, like Arkham Horror, like fucking Cthulhu, like another color, like crazy cult shit. Like he's
like a new color between orange and yellow that's just been there the whole time.
It's called mango.
You're on some fucking fucking rats in the wall shit, and I'm losing my mind.
I will never
at the mouth of mango.
That's where you're at. We're all teetering on the mouth of mango right now.
I will never stop doing this podcast for my entire life. As long as all three of us are alive, we'll continue to do this podcast. That's my promise to you. I wish to God this could be our final episode. Because this would be the best, the craziest finale of a podcast ever. Worse than Seinfeld, hands down, 0 stars. Would not recommend F-.
I hope this is the episode that somebody gives to a friend that's like, man, you gotta listen to the show.
You gotta listen to the show. Oh, God, I'm safe.
Get it?
Oh, Jesus.
We're doing 2 live shows. If you're not dead, if you go to MBMBAM Chicago, bit.ly/MBMBAM Chicago, doing a show there on April 5th. With
yep.
Sawbones, bit.ly/MILMBMBAM, and that'll let you get tickets for our show at Turner Hall Ballroom in Milwaukee. Tickets that are basically almost sold out. Like, so if you hear this and you want to go, like, go get tickets right now because they are, I mean, out of last count, where were they? They were,
yeah, we have like 10 left. And we're also doing a show in Minnesota or in Minneapolis, but we're already sold out on that one. But we do need questions for all 3 shows. So if you're going to be at the shows, send us an email, mbmbam@maximumfun.org, and make sure to put in the subject line, like, for Chicago live show, for Minneapolis live show, or for Milwaukee live show. So we make sure to ask the questions at the right ones that you're going to be at. We'll also be taking some audience questions, which if you haven't been to a live show in the past, come with the question ready. Not a bummer. It's got to be happy and an actual question for advice, not something like, why do you think such and such did such and such? We've got a couple of those questions this week, which they're very funny to read, but they're not very actionable as far as advice goes.
I want to thank John Roderick and the Long Winters, who used for a theme song, It's Departure, off the album Putting the Days to Bed. It is a terrific album. I'm still waiting on that new shit. Someday we're going to get it. I was listening to it the other night, having a dinner party. My friend's like, cool album. I was like, thanks. I didn't record it, but I purchased it.
No, you should just say you recorded it.
I am Max John Von Drive.
I am John Roderick. We got Max Fun Drive coming up. It starts the 16th and it runs for 2 weeks. Max Fun Drive is your opportunity to support all of the amazing Max Fun shows. And it's our chance to give you some of our best content of the year. And if you become a new donor or if you upgrade your donation, you're going to get some really incredible pledge gifts. In the past, there's been things like tote bags and like really cool like Max Fun engraved tumblers and stuff like that. So there's all different levels of donation and all of it helps. And so starting the 16th, running for 2 weeks, we're going to ask you to really step up and to commit to some monthly donations, and we'll keep doing awesome shows and entertaining you for the year. So don't miss it. Don't miss it. Just keep an eye on MaximumFun.org for all the details.
And growing, like we have been able to grow, not just like this show where we've been able to like plan and do live show mini tours and stuff like that, but like stuff like the Adventure Zone and mm-hmm. and Bunker Buddies and Sawbones, like we have started doing all of that stuff since we joined Max Fun because we have the like the freedom and the support to do it because of these donations. Like
quite literally, like because of the donations, like I was able to move here and advance a lot of stuff for all of our podcasts and start a lot of new stuff. So like it really does go to support the shows you love.
Yeah. Thank you all. Thank you all very, very
Speaking
much.
Speaking of, go listen to the other Max Fun shows, My Brother and Me, you already listened to, but check out The Adventure Zone.
Did you just say My Brother and Me? Oh, My Brother, My Brother
and Me? Yeah, Griffin, at this point, I'm doing three Max Fun podcasts. It's always hard to keep track of which show I'm doing at any given time. So Adventure Zone, where we play D&D with our dad. We're going to have some special pledge drive episodes coming up with that. Bunker Buddies that I do with Andy Bolt, where we talk about survival stuff. Justin does Sawbones. I have been on a Sawbones binge lately. Listened to like 8 episodes in the last 2 days.
Thank you.
You're welcome. He does that with his wife, Sydney. It's a comedy medical show about like the fucked up history of medicine. It's really amazing. It's Teresa's favorite show on the network.
Burn.
It's yeah. Rachel's too, I think.
That's cool. So listen to those. Listen to Flophouse. Listen to Throwing Shade. Listen to all the amazing Max Fun shows.
Are we done?
Yep. Here's a final Yahoo for you. Don't leave home Hit without me. It. This Yahoo was sent in by level 400,000 Drew Davenport. It's a lot of Drews in there now. Thank you, Drew. It's by Yahoo Answers user. Something's gone wrong. It says, I haven't seen this error message before, but I'm highlighting their name to see what the name is, and all I'm getting is, sorry, it appears something's gone wrong. Yeah, something's gone terribly wrong, because I'm on Yahoo Answers fucking professionally. Anyway, this mystery user asks, my son acts like Kramer from Seinfeld. Should I be worried?
My name is Justin McElroy.
I'm Travis McElroy.
I'm Griffin McElroy.
This is My Brother, My Brother, and Me. Kiss your dad. Square on the lips.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.
I'm Jesse Thorne.
I'm Jordan Morris.
The federal government has millions of dollars in programs and opportunities that you need to seize today.
You're a taxpayer, right? Well, then you've got it coming.
Thanks to Uncle Sam, you can learn to get grants for education.
Learn to ride a llama.
Print money the old-fashioned way.
Force your dog to stop being so rambunctious.
Make a souffle that sets and stays set.
Mount the heads of your enemies on spikes.
Grind your own corrective lenses using just rock salt and diamonds.
For all of this and more, drop us a line.
Don't wait. Right now.
Jordan Jesse Go, 123 iTunes Street, or wherever you download podcasts.